everybody doing? Good, good, yay. Shoot, yesterday was Saturday. You should be good. I love Saturday. Anybody love Saturday? Man, I love Saturday. Super. Praise God. Hey, this is our wrap-up of our series we're doing on encounters, all the encounters Jesus had with people. And, you know, some of them a little famous. Others are just regular Joe Schmoes. And, you know, that's what I call it. And what we learn from them. So this is our last week. One of our guys, we talked about Jesus had an encounter with Peter. Peter, I just crack up. He's just Peter. Then the other one was with Caiaphas, woman caught in adultery. And I'm not telling you yet what we're going to do. We're going to start with prayer. Father, you're so good. You're good. You're good. And we give thanks to you. We thank you for loving us faithfully. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this Bible, the Word of God. We thank you that there is power in your Word. And today we open our hearts, we open our eyes, we open our minds to receive power, direction. Correction's cool, but I like encouragement. We say thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before I get into who Jesus encounters, just a little background story to start off with. I was raised in North Jersey. You know, on a clear night, you could see the George Washington Bridge. My dad commuted into Manhattan for 35 years. And both my parents, I was thinking about that, they grew up in the Great Depression. It makes interesting parents. Good part about growing up, having them grow up. And it was interesting. My dad didn't really speak a lot. He wasn't a man. He was a man of few words. He could be explosive, but he was a man of few words. But my mom would tell me some stories about growing up with the Great Depression. And interestingly enough, her grandparents actually moved in with them. Did a lot of that in the Depression area. My mom would say how her gram would give her part of her food during the dinner table. She'd go, shh, don't tell your mother, but you can have the rest of this. So we knew it was an interesting time to grow up. And because of having parents grow up with that, my parents were adamant to teach six. I'm number one. Well, actually, I'm number two. I have a twin brother. He's 4 minutes older. So, but they were adamant about teaching us responsibility. Anybody teach your kids responsibility? Therefore, we had chores. We had chores. We had daily chores. We had weekly chores. And we had holiday chores. That meant company was coming and the whole place had to be fixed up and stuff like that. And, you know, it's interesting, though, even though we had chores, and my parents are really good about that, until they got to the last one, I thought they were slackers about that. But I think you're probably worn out when the sixth one pops out. I really, having had four, it's like I kind of changed when I got to the last one. But anyway, you know, we had chores, but it was kind of interesting. My mom still waited on us hand and foot. She did all the laundry. She did all the cooking. She ironed my dad's shirt, and after a while, she sent him out to the dry cleaners. But she just did everything for us. Do you know that she cooked every meal? Every meal. And then when we went to school, she would pack lunches. And she'd pack lunches for everybody. And I thought, so that's kind of how I grew up. So I grew up. And so like I said, my dad worked in Manhattan. My mom was a stay-home mom. And I really think she worked harder than my dad. My dad got on a bus and he was out of there. My mom was with six kids. I can remember she'd do laundry all day long, cooking and taking care of kids. And then she'd throw the laundry on the kitchen table. We had a dining room. We'd eat in the dining room most of the time. But the pile of clothes was this big. And so my mom was just kind of an amazing woman and did a lot. Therefore, when I got married to Jack, because of how my mom did life, I did all the laundry, I did all the cleaning, I did all the cooking, I made every meal, you know, and I ironed too. So I married Jack and we're doing this, and it was cool when we first got married, and then we started popping out kids, and I'm still doing all of this, okay, and we have an acre plus lot, and we burnt out the first riding lawnmower, and the second one we have to go buy. And we go to this really neat place in Jefferson, and they refurbish these things, and they were like half price. So we bring home this new riding mower, lawnmower, which I, you know. And Jack goes, "Hey, Dee, you want me to show you how to do this?" Because, guys, I used to cut the lawn. And I said, "Oh, I don't think so. No, 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 it's okay, it's okay." I was being really nice there. "It's okay, it's okay." And he goes, "Dee, it really isn't that hard." And I erupted. So you've heard somebody been around me when I erupted, you know, and I'm getting better. But I was like, "Argh!" And I'm going, "Hey, I am never cutting this lawn again. And I'm not making your lunches again. And I'm not doing..." Okay. And he's looking at me like, "Whoa, baby, where did this come from?" Well, it kind of built up. And he's like, "Well, you know, Dee..." And I said, "And besides..." Second eruption, they come in threes. "And besides, you are so ungrateful. You actually criticize when I make you a sandwich." So he is smarter than a fifth grader. Right away, he was like, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And from that moment on, he cut the lawn. And he made his lunch. Every day, he packed lunch every day like the rest of us. So, praise the Lord. And then the other one, and this he got a little overboard, but he would say, "Thank you. Thank you." Every time I made a meal, "Dee, thank you. I could cook him a hot dog." And he would say, "Oh, thank you. That was so wonderful." I was like, "Whoa, this is a guy." Okay, so that's part one of my stories. Part two, this past week, Sherry and I were in Lancaster at a regional retreat. And we are, oh, by the way, we went to see Sight and Sound. I'm giving a commercial. Now, normally, I don't like musicals. First off, they turn off the lights. I'm exhausted. Guess what I do? I have slept through most of them. This one is the story of Jesus. If you have an opportunity, it was excellent. And then I was like, "Oh, late, bling, light bulbs go off." Well, of course it was excellent. It's about Jesus, the anointed one. The anointing was there. It was great. I almost fell asleep a little bit. Okay, and then I got my second wing, but it was just tremendous. So if you get a chance to do that, go for it. So we went to see Sight and Sound in between our meetings, and then we had about an hour to get back. And Sherry hits me up with, "Mom, could you just, you know, she's away, by the way, and then she's going to camp. She says, can we go do this? Can we go do this? Pick up the last minute I forgot to buy Aaron thing." And I'm kind of getting a little, "Are you kidding me? I just want to sit down. I just want to..." So I do this, and we run over to here, and they didn't have it. Then we run over there, and they finally had it. And every time we run here and run there, my kid goes, "Mom, I really appreciate that. Mom, thank you so much. Mom, I really thank you so much." Okay, I tell you all that to tell you is that my default is the glass is half empty. That means I can be negative. And I want to tell you something, though, because of growing in God, yes, it's the Lord that does this, and then having people in my life like Sherry and then Jack who thank me every time I cooked a donut or something, I have had to work at being thankful. Anybody have to work at that? I've actually had to make a decision. I am going to be thankful, all right? Because... I am making myself be a positive person, because if not, you know, this happened the other day. Someone said, "Oh, Dee, isn't it beautiful outside?" And my default would be, "Are you kidding me? The grass is 2 feet deep. We have springs in our backyard. They just kind of grew." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, the springs have gotten this big. Oh my gosh, the mosquitoes are going to be out." That is my go-to. So I have to make a decision to go, "Yes, it is a beautiful day. Yes, it's a beautiful day." Anybody have to make decisions like that? Some of you, hey, for all of you that your glass is half full and you're always so happy, I'm a little envious. Praise the Lord, high five, and I should hang out with you more. But okay, so we're going to do our last encounter. Jesus encounters the 10 lepers. How many know that story in your Bible? If not, just write down, it's in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We'll eventually get there, but I'll give you a heads up. So Jesus has an encounter with 10 lepers, and one of them got it. one out of the 10 understood. One got this thing called Thanksgiving. And how many of you want to be the one that gets it? I want to be that one. I'm working to be that one. So we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Title of your message, Thanksgiving. You can make your own title. I change them halfway through here. So the title of the message is Thanksgiving, okay? I'm going to throw a Hebrew word at you because it's so cute. It's yada, Y-A-D-A-H, yada, yada, yada. Anybody hear that before? Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. Yada is a Hebrew word, and it means to give thanks. You can remember that, right? Yada means to give thanks, okay? And it paints a picture of our hands being up in the air and just thanking God with our lips. With your lips. You're thanking him. You could actually have your hands in your pocket, but you're going to be thanking God with your lips. It's found 114 times in the Old Testament. That's not New Testament, just 114 times. And it will be the word thank, thanks, and thanksgiving. It's all the word yada. Everybody say yada, yada, yada. All right, and it means to be, give thanks, to be thankful, to say thanks, all right? Praise God. And Psalm 9, verse 1 is a yada. Here we go. Psalm 9, verse 1, yada. I will give yada. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. That's a yada. And all it is God saying over and over, be thankful, say thanks, be thanks, say thanks, okay? Yada, yada, yada. It's just one of those 114 scriptures, all right? So today I really want us to understand this word Thanksgiving. And I'm telling you, I have made a decision in my life to be this thankful person. But if you're taking notes, write this down. Thanksgiving is praising God when you're not praising God. And I'll explain that. Thanksgiving, so that's yada, Thanksgiving, is praising God when you're not praising God. So we just finished, just a few moments ago, part of our worship service, right? And what were we doing? We're singing praises. And the first song, I was like, yo, they scored. It was all about Thanksgiving. Gratefulness, all right? I was like, love it when the songs go with the message. Praise the Lord. So we went through the service where we sang songs, and that's praising God. That's a worship where we're praising God. We're worshiping, we're praising God. Now, when you study the word worship and praising God in the Bible, God says it does incredible things in your life. Anybody needs some incredible good things in your life? All right, so it does incredible things in our life when we worship. But it also, this Thanksgiving is worship. Thanksgiving is worship, but maybe not with singing, just your words. Thanksgiving is a worship, but with words. Now, some of you that would just love to be singing all day long, worshiping God, singing all day long, worshiping God. Well, you know, you go to work and they're not going to let you do that, right? Your spouse might finally say, would you please? All right. So you can't always do that. You can't always do the singing, praising, thanking God, can you? All right. I probably would say enough. All right. But listen, we can thank God. You can thank God quietly. You can thank God for this and that, the parking space. Praise God. There's money in the checking account. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. My kid cleaned up the room the first time. Thank you. All right, you don't always have to be singing your thanks. You can just say it, right? Say it. So everybody say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, it's Sunday and it's not raining yet, all right? Yeah, it can rain in California. Praise the Lord. So the Bible also teaches us, how many of you know this, that God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits, that's a cute word, God inhabits the praise, our praises. And you know what that means? It simply means that his presence comes in. Okay, his presence isn't weird. People are weird, but the presence of God is not weird, right? All right, so when we praise, his presence comes in, and it's his life, and this is like the best life. It's his love, it's his joy, it's his peace. All those things happen when we give praise or thanks to God. All those things come in on the scene. Now, how many need some of that on the scene? Right? Woo! I do. I'll tell you what. So, if we can learn to give thanks, then all that presence starts moving. And actually, you just become aware. You just become aware of it. The love, the life, the joy, okay? So if we can learn to be thankful. So here's, take notes. Here's the big idea. Here's the main idea. Here's the number one thing I want you to remember. By the time you get to the end of the parking lot, clearer than you ever did before. And it's something that I've had to make a decision in my life. And it's been really good when I make the decision to do this. So here's your main idea. Write this down. Gratitude or thanks. Gratitude gives God latitude. Now, we just talked about the presence of God. That would be, right? The love of God, that would be that. The joy of God, that would be that. So when we are thankful, it gets God like this, all right? Now, object lesson. If you are a complainer, if you are a criticizer, okay, guess what you do? You put God in a box. Okay, you might be happy with this box. You might be, oh, that's a good size box, Pastor D. It could have been a 3x3. No. But when you are constantly criticizing and being negative, you put God in a box. And what happens is you limit him. You limit him to that. And he can't move big in your life. He can't have this latitude. How many likes this versus this? I like this. All right. Praise God. So he wants to do amazing things in our life. But you can leave him in a box. By your complaining and your criticizing and being negative, or you start going, thank you, God. And it just makes God move in big latitude, all right? So we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 17, because I know you're already over there. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, all right? And we're going to look at these 10 leopards. And the first thing that we're going to see with them is how God's latitude opens up. First thing we're going to see in this story is how God's latitude opens up big. All right. Luke 17:11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us, or have mercy on us. All right, now, praise God. Why were they standing at such a distance? Everybody, like, this is Jesus. I would have been right on his shirt tails, right? Well, these guys had leprosy. And under the old covenant, under the law of Moses, which they were living under, okay, they were living under this law, they had to keep a distance. And the distance was half a football field away, 50 yards away. So they're all the way out there and they're yelling, Jesus, you know, Jesus, have mercy on us. And that's because they had to keep a distance, right? They had to keep a distance. And the reason why they had to keep a distance was, one, obviously they had leprosy, and the law said that they had to keep the distance because this was a super contagious disease. All right? How many of you, somebody comes in your house sneezing and coughing, and they said, I was up all night throwing up. Well, guess what you usually do? Okay, all right? So don't think, you know, the law of Moses was so mean and stuff. We do that. So the leopards contracted this disease, they had to keep a distance. They actually had to be then separated from their family. Okay, that means your spouse, your kids, your relatives, and y'all had to leave your job. Okay, you had to be separated. So when I think about that, separated from my family, that is a really horrible disease. That is just a crippling, horrible disease, isn't it? You're separated. As outcasts, all right? Leprosy, I'm giving you a little trivia, so when you play the game, you win. So leprosy is also called Hansen's disease nowadays, Hansen's disease. And yes, it is super contagious, and it starts with a bacteria in your upper respiratory system, okay, and therefore makes it super contagious. So that's why you are separated, Alrighty. Now, this disease does a couple of things, none of good. It starts with lesions on your body. Can you pop that first one up? I'm going to gross you out. Okay? Gross out time. I know my gross out time. Gross out time. Okay. Well, they're finding. Okay. Gross. Okay. I had enough. Turn around. You can do it. Oh, I can't do those things. Okay. Okay. Gross. Okay. So you start with lesions like that on your skin, and they just go all over your body. That's gross. That's bad. That's why you're separated, and it's highly contagious. The second thing it starts doing is it starts causing parts of your body to fall off, rot off. Your fingers, could be your nose, could be your ears. All right? That's gross. Okay, we got one of those? That's so gross. I can't do that. Okay, I had enough, enough, enough. I can't do that. So, you know, I'm not a nurse qualified person. I can't do this stuff, okay? And eventually, you know, it's just rotting away parts of your body, and your foot could rot off, and then you're crippled. So this is, you're separated, you're ostracized from your family and people, you've got lesions, and I'm sure they are, do not feel well, and then this goes on, and this is a horrible disease, okay? Everybody say, yeah, that's pretty bad, Pastor D. Can you be nice pictures up there? We'll work on it. All righty. So there they are screaming 50 yards away, Jesus, 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 have mercy, have pity on us. Okay, next verse, here we go. Jump down to verse 14. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Okay. In the Old Testament, remember they're living under the Old Testament, the Mosaic law. These are laws that, and in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, this is what Jesus was telling them. He's actually telling this part from the Bible, and he says, it says, if somebody is miraculously healed from this leprosy, you are to go show yourself to the priest. And if he gives you the thumbs up, hey, then you can go back into society. You can go back with your family. You can go back to your job. So Jesus says right there, he says, hey, go show yourself to the priest. And you know what he's saying? Go, you're going to be healed. Because, why would he tell them that? Because it meant they were healed, all right? Okay, now they had to have a little bit of faith, right? They had a little bit of faith. They had to turn around, start walking to the priest, right? They had to do, they had a part to play, all right? But did you notice? You'll be cleansed. Go show yourself to the priest and you'll be cleansed. Okay, now, if they're cleansed, that word cleansed just means cleansed. Okay, you're cleansed of the disease. You're cleansed of the bacteria. You're cleansed of this. Okay, now, if your nose had fallen off because of the disease, you still had your nose fall off. If you lost fingers from this disease, you still had your fingers off, right? Because you were just cleansed, right? All right, Pastor D, where are you going with this? All righty. Verse 15, here we go. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, actually in the Greek that's cleansed, when he saw he was cleansed, so I don't know, maybe the icky stuff, the lesions were, you know, I don't know. So when he saw he was cleansed, he came back praising God in a loud voice and threw himself at the feet of Jesus and yada, thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. All right, now, praise God. So the word praising God just simply means giving honor, giving glory to God. So this guy starts on his walk. All 10 of them start on their walk, and he stops and he comes running back and starts praising Jesus and thanking, falls on the feet and just before him. And listen, he had to do the 50 yard dash too, right? And he runs and he falls on Jesus and says, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you. I'm pretty sure he was loud. I'm pretty sure he was crying crazy. Hey, amen. You see, you ever see the people that get the lottery tickets that when they win, they go ballistic, right? I'm pretty sure this guy was just having a great old time, all right? So, verse 17, let's look at verse 17. Remember, gratitude gives God latitude. Gratitude, thankful, gives God latitude. And this is the first thing that it does. Gratitude produces restoration. Gratitude will give you restoration, all right? All right. 17. Jesus asked, "Hey, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Okay, now. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word is in the Greek is healed. It's actually the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. Sozo. And it means a couple of things, but in this instance, it means saved, it means protected, and it means healed in this instance, but it also means restored. What do we say? Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what happens here. He says, your faith has made you nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, all of them got cleansed, right? All of them are on their merry way. They got cleansed. But this guy came back and was thankful, was praising God, and then was thankful. And Jesus says, it's your faith, and now you are whole. Because gratitude produces restoration. How do you like to be nothing missing, nothing broken? Nothing missing, nothing broken. What was gone is now back. Isn't that awesome? Woo! Praise the Lord. So gratitude brings restoration. Gratitude brings restoration. And so if he was missing fingers, guess what? Bing, they're back. If he was missing an ear, bing, they're back. If he was crippled because his foot was all, bing, it's back. He was totally restored. That's awesome, because gratitude, thank you, thank you, thank you, will produce restoration. Praise God. All right, now, you know, I can have things where God just moves in my life, and maybe he just, you know, I'm healed of something, or blah, blah, blah. Come on, Pastor D, what do you got in your head? I don't know. You know, I've just been through some things, and I know God has worked in my life. Could be a relationship, finances, physical. And you can get to this like, oh, yeah, God, thank you, thank you. But you know, God, you could have done more. God, I'm really thankful that, you know, this month the account is not in the black, you know, the zeros, and we've got $5 in there. But God, you know, you could have dumped 100 in there. We can get like that. And we forget to really thank God. Come on. Thank him for what he did. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Instead of negative. All right. Thank you, God, for what you did. Thank you, God, for what you're going to continue to do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right? Because if you give gratitude to God, he will open up latitude and he can do some great things in your life. But if you're the glass is half empty, critical, negative, you box him. And how many of you want it this big? I want it this big in my life, all right? Again, it doesn't come easy to me, guys. I work at this. I have people around me, especially Sherry, should go, that was a little negative. But I'm working at this, and I'm telling you what, it has been exciting to turn around and just start God. I start with the little things. God, just thank you that those ants are, I had ants all over my kitchen. And so I got up the next day and I did spray, and I got up in the morning and I just go, thank you, God, the ants are all dead. Well, of course, Pastor D, you sprayed. No, I'm working on thanking God, okay? Just thank him. Find every little thing and start thanking him. Just thank him. And, you know, some of you are waiting for perfect, 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 and God's going, thank me, thank me, thank me. Thank me, thank me, thank me. Just start thanking me, okay? Woo! Praise the Lord. So I've learned to say, thank you, God, for what I do have. Thank you, God, for what you're working on. Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you. And, you know, when you start continue with this Thanksgiving thing, it opens God big to move in your life. Anybody need some big in your life? Well, let's thank him. Lord, you're so good. I thank you that you love me. I thank you, Father, the ants are dead. I thank you, Lord, that this happened. I thank you, Lord, that happened. I thank you that da-da-da-da-da, right? So easy. And I'm going to tell you more, but it's just so easy. Okay, number two thing. Gratitude opens God to latitude, opens God really big to move in your life. But the second thing it'll do is it brings peace. Gratitude releases peace in your life. Gratitude releases peace in your life. It's peace in your heart. in your heart. Now, sometimes we have with people, okay, but I'm not talking about that. It's gratitude is doing something in your heart, in your heart. Open up to Philippians 4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Praise the Lord. If you learn to be this thankful person, it releases, there's peace in you. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, He's deposited this there. But if you start giving a thankful heart, it releases this peace out of you. It releases it out of you. If you're like, negative, complaining, not good. All right. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious, worried, stressed, crazy. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, whatever's bad's going on, whatever's not so good going on, okay? But in every situation, by prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, thank you, thanks, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present your request to God. Okay. So this is talking about prayer and thanksgiving coupled together. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to thank God. I'm going to pray and I'm going to thank God that He's heard my prayer. I'm going to pray and thank Him that He heard my prayer and that He's moving. Okay? And I'm going to be thankful. But it doesn't have to be just with prayer. And that's verse 7. You know, this works even if you're not praying about something. Just flat old, just get into the thank part. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Verse 7. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Okay, transcend. I love that. Supersede. Supersede. Surpass. Outdo. All right? So you look at that and you go, thanks. If you thank, you get into this thankful habit, make a decision. I'm going to be thanks to God. I'm giving thanks to God. He will supersede what you can even think of. And the latitude's up. You're out of the box and the latitude's up, okay? Now, it doesn't matter if you've got this crazy overwhelming thing and you're starting to go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I don't know about this. It doesn't look good. Start going, well, God, I thank you. You're going to move. God, I thank you that I'm your girl. God, I thank you. I'm your favorite. God, I thank you. I'm the head and not the tail. And I start this thanking thing and it just, a peace comes in me. A peace, well, it's in me, comes out of me. And this calms down. I start being anxious and worrying because I'm going to do gratitude, releases peace out of your life. How many of you like hanging around with people that are just stressed out, freaked out? It's not, they're just not fun to hang with. They're just, ugh, you know, not, I don't mean, that, but you know, it's just not, it's not peaceful. But you know, you can do it, baby. You can just start going, God, I thank you. Thank you. You're working in my house. I thank you, Father, that you're doing this in my spouse. I thank you, Lord, that this situation is, you're working, Lord. I give you access to work. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. And I got this peace going on. All right. But I'm telling you, babies, I have had to make a decision to say thanks. All right, I've had to make a decision. All right. Got a story in the Bible. It's in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Okay, you can open up there, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I think it is. I'll look in a second. But it's Jehoshaphat. He's the king of Judah. And he's got it bad. He has not only one army, two armies, three armies. He's got three armies that are going to just come in and just terrorize and just overwhelm them. Okay? So he is in an overwhelming situation. Three armies. Amen? That's a little overwhelming. And so Jehoshaphat starts to pray. This is a good time to pray. And he actually tells everybody to pray. And he goes on a fast. Now, I hate fasting. Just don't like doing it. But you get in some overwhelming situations. We do everything, right? So he's praying and he's fasting. The people are praying and fasting. And God speaks through a prophet to Jehoshaphat and all of them. All right? God speaks. And it's 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. He said, this is the prophet, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged, worried, stressed, right? Okay? Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. For the battle's not yours. Okay. So we have overwhelming situations. And yes, by the way, don't call me up. Please start to pray. All right? I love you. And I'll go, have you prayed? Yeah, you can do it. So we come into these situations and yes, we're to pray. Yes, we're to speak God's words. But sometimes we get in these overwhelming situations, right? And this is when the Lord says, yep, but that's okay. I'm going to win the battle for you. That's okay. I'm going to win the battle for you. All right. Now, the verse 21, he gives them the instructions. He gives them the instructions. How many like instructions? How many of you don't even read them? Yeah, I can tell stories about Jack, man. All right, but God's going to give us some instructions, so we're going to read them. Verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed men, this is God had given them the instructions to do this, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him. To sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out, at the head of the army, listen to what they say. Ready? Give thanks to the Lord! Give thanks to the Lord! Give thanks to the Lord! For his love endures forever. All right. Now. Remember, thanksgiving is praising God. When you're not praising God, thanksgiving is a worship. It's just a speaking out. So they're speaking out. They're singing and they're speaking out praises to God. They're thinking, thanking him that God's love endures forever. They're thanking him. Now, are there three armies out there? Yep. But what are they doing? Praising him and thanking him and worshiping him. All right. Praising him, thanking him, worshiping. They're doing it all. Praising him, thanking him, worship him. Okay. Now, did you notice who went first? Now, if I were going to go to war, if I got some enemies camped out here, here, and here, I would get all the guys with the guns and the cannons and whatever else is out there. And I could collect all of them, all right? And then we'd go attack the enemy, right? Right? Okay. God says, hey, I want you to send Nevin, Michelle, Olivia, oh, Matt, who else here? It was Lane and Brenton. I want you to send them out first. You're laughing because you weren't one of them, right? Yeah, let's send them out first. God says, I want to send them out first, and they're going to give thanks and praise and thanks and praise. Give thanks and praise. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, well, that does not look good. God does not look good. God, send the Marines, right? Who goes in first? Who goes in first? The Marines or the SEALs or whatever else is there. Okay, but God goes, nope. I want to send out those that are going to sing to me. Those that are going to give thanks to me. Those that are going to sing to me and praise me and give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. All right. Everybody, yay. Give thanks, Pastor D. All right. Guys, God is showing us something really big here. He's showing us something big. And so if you get yourself in some tough situations, he's saying, I want you to give praise and thanks to me. Anybody got a tough situation? All right. So y'all know that lovely wall back here. You go out the back door and there's steps in the wall and it has just been a fiasco. So I'm going to tell you the story again. And the retaining wall was pushing into the building, and Bill said, Dee, you need to do something. I'm like, nah, we don't. He goes, okay. So we hired a company, can't tell you the name, to tear it down and put it back up. When they tore it down, the wall had been so whacked because it wasn't laid the right way, it was pushing into the building and it cracked the building. So we're like, oh my gosh. Okay. So, you know, the peace of God that passes all understanding. So I was like, okay. So we get a construction engineer in there, his friend of Bill's, and he goes, and I didn't know this. There's like several layers of brick or what's the word? Cinder block. Thank you. Okay. There's a couple of them, and it only cracked the first layer. It didn't crack the main. So the building wasn't cracked and wasn't going to fall down. So we put some black gooey stuff in there and that was fine. Okay. And then I have to leave at the next part. So we had a little conversations with the contractor. Oh, okay. Cause we got to call him back. It's now December. The ground's frozen and they can't finish it. I'm like, oh, praise God. I really didn't say that, but oh, praise God. Now I'm learning to give thanks. So we're okay. We're waiting for spring, And so we start shooting emails in March because it's spring and the ground should be thawing. And one email went to this guy, and then Bill shot him an email, and he shot him an email, and he shot him an email back and forth here. And it didn't go good. Okay. Just didn't go good. So basically this contractor abandoned the project. Quit. Stopped. Any other words you got? Okay. So I was like, oh, let's just get somebody else. Well, I found out you can't because we have a contract. We signed a contract. You sign a contract, you have to finish the contract. You can't move on. But wait a minute. Okay. So now we have to go to the magistrate. So July 1st, we get a paper from the magistrate and fill it out. And you have to pay for that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm working on this. I have to really work on this default thing here. And we have 30 days, and if you want to contest it, do it immediately. So the day that we have this paperwork is going to show up on the magistrate's desk, Bill, the day before, Bill goes, Dee, what? We need to go there. Bill, we don't have to. It says if they're not contesting it, we don't have to. Dee, what? We got to go. Bill, I don't want it. It's 8 a.m. Bill, Dee, okay, we're doing this. Finally, I'm like, all right, Bill, okay, I'll be there. This is the day that I'm leaving on vacation. I'm going to catch an airplane at 1, and I am at the magistrate. See, that's that default. I got to work up. Praise God. I am up early at the magistrate. I need help, all right? Any of you, you know, you do that. So we're up at the magistrate. We walk in, and golly gee whiz, praise the Lord. That guy contested, and now, and we found out the last second, and now we have to go to get a lawyer, okay, to do all this. I didn't do praise the Lord, thank you, God. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know nothing about lawyers. I am overwhelmed. I am not doing good. This is not looking good. This is bad, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Bill just laughed at me. Bill's my age. He's an engineer. What kind of engineer is he? Architectural engineer. And he's the kind of stoic person. He's laughing at me. All right. I am going to be thankful. And I'm going to watch God move. So on August 23rd, is that next Thursday? We're going in with a lawyer. So I said, Bill, do you know any lawyers? He goes, yep. I said, I don't know any lawyers. I said, who's your lawyer? He says, oh, he's mean. I said, let's take him. Okay? He's mean. He's tough. I said, okay. So we got a lawyer. Why did I say all that? Why? I don't know where I am on my notes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because God's going to move. And I'm just going to thank him. And I am going to stop sweating and get out of peace. I'm going to get back into peace. And I don't have to know. How many of you like to write programs for God? I'm telling him all the time how I want him to do things. And then I get that it doesn't go my way. And then I find out God does it a great way. So I am backing off and I am practicing this. This message was not for you. This message is for me. I am thanking God. He is moving on our behalf. I am thanking God that we are a child of the Most High God, and you better not touch the anointed ones, and our favor goes before us because we got favor, favor, favor. And I am thanking God. I'm thanking God. I'm thanking God. Okay? And I'm not writing the program on how this ends or, you know, any of that stuff. So praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know what verse I'm on. Anybody know what verse I read last? The battle's not yours. Did I read verse 21? Oh, yes. Yeah, sing them out. Sing them out. Okay. All righty. How about verse 22? Let me read this. Listen to what God does. Verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. They were defeated. Listen. They sent the singers and the thankers and the worshipers and the praisers and the thankers out front, and God goes and defeats the armies. It's just awesome, all right? So let's go jump down to verse 24, okay? Remember, who went out first? Nevin went out first. Olivia went out first. Michelle went out first. Lane went out first. Matt went out. That's who went out first, okay? Now listen to what happens, verse 4. I'm jumping around. Please read this whole chapter. It is just delightful. Verse 24. And when the men of Judah came to the place, when the army guys, when the army men came to the place that overlooked the desert, okay, and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground and no one had escaped. Who fought the battle? God fought the battle. Who won the battle? Who had to start shooting their guns and doing stuff? Nobody. Nobody had to lift a finger. Just the singers. Olivia was out there, you know, da-da-da-da-da, singing and stuff like that. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. Now, God won the battle because of what came out of their mouth. And I'm working on it. Yay. Okay. But God won the battle. But God won the battle by what came out of their mouth. Thank you, God. Thank you. You're moving. Thank you, God. You got this. Thank you, God. I don't care what I see. I just thank you. You got this. We win. Thank you, God. It is just a beautiful story for you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whew. Hallelujah. So gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Gives God big latitude. He just moves big, bigger than you can imagine. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. All righty. Now, so gratitude gives God latitude. Gratitude brings what? Restoration. Gratitude brings peace. Gratitude brings victory. God brought victory. God brought victory. God brought victory. All by what came out of their mouths. All right? Or you are going to just stay in this little box. All right? I don't want to stay in the box. I want to have God do big. God do big. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to wrap up by showing you three things you can always thank God for. You know, some days you're like, I'm trying to think of something to thank God. All right? Because, you know, the car blew up, the refrigerator is not working, this happened, that happened, that happened. So, but I'm going to give you three things you can always, 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 always thank God for. All right? Always thank God for. Number one, we can always thank God for His mercy, right? His mercy, His mercy. So write that down. I can always thank God for His mercy. Psalm 136, Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy, mercy endures forever. So thank you, God. Your mercy endures forever. Okay, what's mercy? Mercy gives a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. I think I'm on 100 chances. Mercy is just God moving in your life. When you blow it and you blow it and you blow it, His mercy comes in and He just moves. Because He loves you and He's got mercy. So God, I thank You for Your mercy in my life. Thank You. Thank You. So everything's gone wrong. Nothing's working out. Just go, thank You, God. God, today, I'm just thanking You for mercy in my life. I blew it here, I blew it here, I blew it here. But I thank You for mercy in my life. Your mercy endures forever. You're so good. All right. Number two, you can always praise God for what He has done. What He did yesterday, what He did last week. Some of us, I might have to think what He did last year. You can always, come on. How many of you have been walking with the Lord for more than 10 years? You got some good stuff to say. Thank you, God, for what You did back in 19, whatever, all right? Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, all right? And, you know, I'll go through a list. I'll just start. It has been the day where everything's just exploded here. I just go, okay, oh yeah, yeah, I remember back then. Okay, I'm allowed to remember, but I make a choice to remember all the good things that I'm going to say. Thank you, God. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. All right, some of you are sitting here thinking, wow, Pastor D, God ain't done nothing for me in such a long time. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a lot to be thankful of. He's made you righteous. He's made you holy. He made you blameless before the Lord's sight. You can walk into His presence blameless anytime. That's what Jesus did for you. He took all your mess ups and He just makes you beautiful before the Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. And I don't know, I pray with some people, and if you ever pray with me, I always start there. Father God, I just thank You that You loved me and rescued me when I was yet a sinner, when I was so pitiful, pitiful. I thank You that Your love came and rescued me, and You brought me into Your presence, and You made me Your daughter, and You clothed me with this righteousness, and You've given me favor, and You've blessed me here, and You blessed me here. Thank You. Amen. Pretty much 90% of the time, I start my prayers like that. I start in the thank you part, and I just thank him. So praise the Lord. Listen, so we praise him for his mercy. We can praise him for what he has done, right? And definitely praise him because you're his child. And the last one, here we go, last one. I can praise him because he promised he'd not forsake me. He promised he would not leave me. He promised, okay? Scripture for that one is found in Deuteronomy 31. It's also found in Hebrews and Joshua, but I'm going to read it, the Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. It says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified for them, for the Lord goes with you and he'll never leave you or forsake you. All right? I had a repair guy in this past week with our alarm system, and we were chatting. And it was actually, you know, if you walk in my office on Friday, I'm actually practicing my message on you. So I said, you know, hey, God is so good. And he's like, rah, rah, rah. I said, God is so good. He's never left me, forsaken me. He says, everybody's forsaken me. I said, well, you need the Lord, you know. But sometimes people are thinking, you know, people leave us. They may die and go on to heaven. They may move across country. They just may ditch you on the friendship zone. Okay, but God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And if God's for me, who cares who's against me? I got God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the God who just did amazing things in the Old Testament, New Testament, still does amazing things. He's not forsaken me. He's on my team. Better yet, I'm on his team. So God's not forsaken me. That makes a great day. Amen? It makes it really good. Now, you may feel like God has forsaken you. So that's when you have to go, no, I'm going to lift up my voice. God, I just want to thank you. I am yours. I am blood washed. I am your child. Heaven's my home. I'm on this earth serving you. I just want to thank you that goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I thank you that the greater one lives in me. I thank you. And I just go like a skyrocket, thanking him. All right. Now, here's what happens if you don't. If you don't, where's my box? If you don't, you keep him in a box. If you're complaining, if you're negative, glass is half empty, nothing ever good happens. Oh my gosh, they're always so pitiful to me. Okay, if you are negative and doing all that, you've got God stuck in a box. And gratitude gives God an opportunity to go this big in your life. He wants to go this big in your life. But this will either keep this or this big. How many of you want God just moving in your life? Well, it's real easy. Just right now, Father, I just thank you. Come on, you do this. Lord, I thank you that you love me. I thank you I'm so special in your eyes. I thank you that the greater one lives in me. I thank you that you came and you rescued me. I thank you. Thank you. Hey, you can move your mouth too. It doesn't have to be me. I thank you that you have begun a good work, you'll complete it. I thank you that favor. I thank you, Father, that you perfect the things that concern me. I thank you, Father, that all my children rise up and just worship you. I thank you, Father, that health and wholeness is moving in my body. There's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, God. I give you thanks. And I thank you that you are moving this big in my life. I thank you, Father, that situation that looks overwhelming, I thank you, God, you move and bring victory into it. I just thank you. It's looking, but I don't go by what I see. I go by what you can do big and great things in my life. I thank you, Father. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. How about I pray for y'all? Amen. Yeah, thank God. Let's praise him. All right. And I'm not singing. So, Father, we just, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. It is a decision in my life to be a thankful person. You can punch me in the arm if you hear something out of my mouth. Okay. Come on, Pastor D. Okay. But it is a decision. But that decision will bless your socks off. Amen. It'll bless you. How many have had your socks blessed off by just being a thankful person? Man, shoo. How many of people walk up to you and you're in a store or something like that and they go, man, I've been watching you. You're just always smiling. And I'm like, oh, what's that? I am believing God. Gratitude, thankfulness. Because if you came home with me and saw that the basement flooded, you would not be looking this way. Okay? Yay! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm praying for you. Father, I thank you for all the encounters Jesus had. I thank you for what we've learned. I thank you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be thankful. Remind us when we're not and we're looking at things negatively. Remind us and help us to just be people of thanks so you can continue to do great things in our life that we will point and say, but it was God. And I am so thankful because of my God and what he's doing in my life. Amen. Praise God. Hey, let me pray. One more thing. Let me ask a question. If you're here and you have never received Jesus, you've never said, Jesus, I need you. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, to something personal, if you've never prayed a prayer that said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me and I need you in my life. I am tired of my life by myself. If you're here and you have never asked Jesus to be what we call be Lord of your life, if you've never asked him and the Holy Spirit's just kind of been just, it's that little like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. That's really just God pulling at your heart. I would like to pray for you if you'd like to receive Jesus. Now, when I say that, I'm not asking if you've gone to church all your life. I'm not asking if you're a good person. I'm not asking if you were sprinkled or dunked at one time or another. I'm asking if you've ever just said with your mouth, made this personal confession and asking, Jesus, I believe that you came for me. Jesus, come into my life. And I surrender my life. So if you're here today and this is what you want to do, well, today is the day. And the Bible is so beautiful. Jesus says, you call on my name, I'm there. You ask and I come. You just say, come, Lord Jesus, I'm there. And I will change you and you will be forever mine. Praise the Lord. And by the way, it's a free gift. You can't be good enough. You can't do 100 things and do this and this and this. It is a free gift, what Jesus did. So if you're here today and you just raise your hand, nobody's looking around, everybody's eyes are closed, okay? Just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, would you pray for me? I would like Jesus. I would like to give him my life. And I'll tell you what, a miracle will happen. So just raise your hand. If there's anybody, just raise your hand. I say, Pastor D, would you pray with me? And matter of fact, we're all just going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray and just watch what God does, all right? So everybody say this out loud. If you're praying this for the first time, you say it out loud with all of us. And you know, let me tell you, you will know. It's just an amazing thing. Just simply say, Father, I come to you. In Jesus' name, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. And he came and he died for me. And he took my penalty. He took my sins on the cross. And I open my heart. I give you my life right now. Jesus, I ask you into my life. Jesus, thank you for wiping away my sins. I'm now a child of God. Heaven is my home. And Jesus is my Lord. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, a miracle happened. You may not have had goosebumps and you may not be crying, but the Bible says life, God's life, his love, you are just totally brand new. So whatever past you had, you are just brand new before the Lord. That's a miracle. The Bible says that you're a new creature. The Bible says, calls it being born again, being a child of God. So it's a pretty amazing thing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise Lord. Praise God. Praise God.